June 12, 2018. It's a lot from Pedro Show.
It's an original, isn't it?
Yeah.
11382, 383, original.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show, June 12th, Kay's B-Day. So happy B-Day, Kay. We're going to get back to dose. You know, she's had severe injury with playing bass, and she told me she can do it sitting down now, but she can't look over. So she's learning how to play by feel. Other news, found out about a new John Coltrane quartet, the classic quartet they found from 1963. I guess it was one of these reels Mr. Van Gelder would give you after your session, because the master got lost. It was right before the thing you do with Johnny Hartman ballads. Anyway, one of the tunes, it didn't even have a title, right? It's like that posthumous interstellar stuff. So it's called Untitled Original 11383, John Coltrane and McCoy Tyner, Jim Garrison, Alvin Jones. And then my guest on the show, because Brother Matt, I think he's on his way to mix. You know, he just retired, so he's predisposed. We'll get a show in with him later, maybe at the end of the month. But I'm not totally alone, because through the ingenious science work of those engineers in Estonia, we have via Skype the Wilderness, which is Jim Coleman.
We also got
Robert Lever, and then we got a helper man, Phil, that's going to go with you on tour, right?
That's right, yeah. Hey, it's actually this Wilderness.
What did I say?
The Wilderness, yeah, which is...
It's wrong. It's this Wilderness, because can you sense a specificity about that?
Right.
I can. Yeah, and that gets lost. All of a sudden,
not that wilderness, yeah, this wilderness.
That's right. I'm way into that. Now, who wants to go first about talking about their journey through music?
Oh, you got any specific questions? Or?
Well, who wants to go first? You don't answer questions with questions. What is this, Don Trump?
Okay, I'll hit it first.
Joke, sorry. Jim. Go ahead. Jim? Okay, Jim, yeah. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was playing French horn in front of like a gymnasium full of like people when I was in grade school. And I remember being like scared out of my wits going up there and like playing like the solo. But that fear kind of working.
I heard a French horn is tough because of a little mouthpiece.
Yeah, it's a tough instrument to play. I was taught French horn by this old dude who taught Dizzy Gillespie to play.
Wow.
And we had a jazz band when I was in grade school and junior high, and this was outside of D.C. Every time Dizzy would come into town, we'd go, you know, check out his show and like kind of hang out with him afterwards. So as a kid, that was pretty cool, you know.
Speaking of D.C., I got to see what he's got a horn in the Smithsonian that's all bent up like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huh. I wouldn't shit you. Also, I got to see him by himself when he was doing that Afro-Cuba thing, and the dashikis, and Raymond took me up in Hollywood. Shelley's Manhole.
Huh.
Good old days. what about before that? What about when you were in the Pat? The house you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, well, I was kind of forced to take classical piano when I was a kid. So I took like 8 years of piano, and then took 8 years of French horn. My dad was a jazz head, so he would take me out to see. We saw Dave Brubeck and Oscar Peterson, all these guys.
Did he play, or was he just a listener? Gig.
He played. He played some guitar, but he was more of a listener.
Okay. Yep. But the big memory you have is the pants shooter in front of the school with the French horn.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
John Entwistle, French horn player.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, pictures of Lily. He's doing the bass and the French horn.
Wow.
And okay. So, yeah, your parents got you going on a scholastic thing. But was there any music in school?
Well, I played in school band and stuff like that.
Like marching band?
I did like a month of marching band before I copped out of that. I wasn't interested in that. But yeah. I played in orchestra. I was in all state and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, great! So you went like touring around and doing gigs, right, in school?
Yeah, and more with that jazz band that I talked about. We would we would tour locally around D.C.,
That's bitching. What about outside of school? Did you do shit, what do we call it, the garage band or the bedroom kind of trip?
I was a late bloomer in that way. I didn't, the first band I was really in was Cop Shoot Cop, and that was, into my 20s,
Okay, so yeah, okay, you didn't do any of that. So before you didn't that, really write songs then until
now.
Yeah.
You know, before that, I was like doing like really experimental stuff with like four track. You know, I would get like soundtracks, like mag track from like documentaries on like scuba diving, and make loops out of those and multi track those, and so it was more like sound collage stuff. You know.
Wow. And what inspired you? Did you know people like Carl Stone and John Cage?
Well, somewhat. I actually had like an old girlfriend of mine. Her grandfather was this like kind of avant-garde Russian composer, and he was friends with John Cage. And so I had the opportunity to have dinner with him a couple times. But that was kind of after I got into like manipulating sound. I just kind of got into it. Just, you know, I don't know. I just kind of found my own way into it, and only later did I find the, you know, predecessors for that.
Sure, sure. Okay, so that goes up to... Maybe we should go with fucking Robert.
Okay.
Robert,
come over here.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. First, or earliest musical recollection, Robert.
Well, I had a babysitter, and she used to sing me lullabies, and... I associated, she touched my back and, you know, helped me get to sleep, sort of rubbed my back and sang me these songs. So I had this weird combo of contact and music. I associate music with contact.
Yeah. That's why I got into bass. You feel that shit, too.
Feel it, yeah.
So what about the pad you grew up in? Was there instruments?
Not really. My parents weren't very musical, though they could sing a little bit. There was a piano that I was forced to play, you know, like a lot of kids. I didn't really take to it because there was so much...
Not like a lot of kids, because like no one, me and D. Boone, know had a piano. Those fuckers are expensive, man.
back then, you
Yeah, because they didn't have the Casio. There wasn't the electric thing yet, so you had to have a real, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Even with the keyboard thing, all that stuff, that's more at the end of the 70s. So that's why I always ask about that. So, and what I found out, too, is people who had piano lessons, a lot of them hated it. It almost turned them away from music. But not everyone.
But no, I think that's true. I mean, I started writing songs when I was much, much older, and I picked up a guitar, you know, around, you know, late teens. So it wasn't.
Did you have music in school?
Yeah, I always sang songs, and I was singing in a chorus one in grade school, and then this girl in the chorus beat me up actually outside after a rehearsal. She beat the shit out of me, and I just stopped going to chorus.
So music's always been about touching.
yeah.
Okay.
You're getting it.
Especially the feminine aspect.
It's true. I hadn't put that together myself.
You know what? I didn't fucking. Ask Jim, but I'm going to ask you, what was the first record you bought yourself?
You know, you better ask Jim that. I could make something up. It was like maybe Abbey Road.
Beatles. Yep. What was the first gig you went to?
Probably...
Look, sorry for the hard questions. Let's listen.
Days go by and I can see it. Nights arrive and take control. In my dreams I am your sister, climbing up out of a hole. All my life, I've been listening. The whisper, it came out from the core. I wear a necklace made of keyholes. I spy myself through every door. All my life, I kept my head down, hoping I would not explode. I wear a necklace made of wonder, flying now above the road. Oh. Full-time woman, I finally found you. Full-time woman, can't you see? Full-time woman, you are burning. You are burning into me. Full-time woman, I finally found you. Full-time woman, I finally found you. Full-time woman, can't you see? Full-time woman, you are burning. You are burning into me.
65, monumental little miss, Kowski to Pele, milk, pour it in a wine glass, milk, turn my burgundy white, milk, pour it in a wine glass, milk, twilight might.
A kid waiting for something to hit you in the head and offer you a clue on what you're supposed to do. It ain't cool to be a virgin when you're 16. You lied but she knew anyway. It's not for nothing that they say. Don't rain upon your own parade. Don't stain your sunny day. Your story's yet untold, but your conscience is in disarray. Always had to smile away. You thrive telling unnecessary lies. They used to laugh at all your average jokes, share with you their average coke. All the days became the same, blowhards in their dull refrain. Always you waste away.
Describe light years of fear addressing the possibility of a final goodbye, then just as unexpectedly hearing of miracles. Well, they couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Thanks for jumping through all the hoops and making it quite well. Way off the chart. What I felt on the day that you told me you went down. How do you describe a friendship rescued, love saved? How do you tell of it, of being so glad to have you rescued of this? Literally, what can I say? I can say that I love you, glad you are my friend. How do you describe a big, fat friendship? Unbelievable, you miracle man. I can't describe this.
Yeah. LSD מסקנות ביניים. ייתכן שטעינו כל הזמן. מה יש להבין פה בכלל? לא כל הנחלים זורמים אל הים, חלקם זוחלים על גרונם, צמאים ונטושים, מוכי ירח. ניר שונה ממני. זה יותר מצחיק מעצוב. מתרחשת כאן מלחמה ויש המון פצועים שמחים, אבל אני לא מצליח לזהות את האויב. גם אין לו נשק. אני חייב מים. המלחמה האמיתית היא לארגן את הזמן כך שלא יזל מעבר למה שאני יכול לשאת. זה לא שאני מתנגד להישאר באובן נצחי, אבל הגוף קורס מעייפות וכימיקלים.
I'm We got the crime. We need a trial. The justice got stuck in traffic, crawling mile after mile. Once there was a courthouse, it blew away in a hurricane. There's been so many lately, I can't recall her name. Well, God is not a reliable witness, and I suffer from a lack of psychological fitness.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, this wilderness. Not that wilderness. Full-time woman. After that brand new from many birthdays out of Austin, Convinced the Hex. I thought that's a Flaming Lips cover. Copa with Milk out of Europe. If it's still all right to listen to music from there. It Ain't Pretty, live TV broadcast, Negative Example. That's Bucky from Tar Babies in Madison. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin in Madison, with this poem, I Can't. Black Lips, brand new. I think Sean Lennon produces The Last Cul-de-Sac, which means the bottom of the sack. Yeah. I like that. The Kudo, huh? The Kudo. Okay, White Denim, Had to Know, had the bass man on a couple weeks ago. Brand new from Bob Pollard, of course, every other week, right? New album. Airs, Farther South out of Tel Aviv with LSD, Interim Conclusions. Grex with Old Dogs from Bay Area. They're going to be on the show in a couple weeks. Ain't No Grave from Carl Boslich, Pedro native, but now I think Eagle Rock. And finally, Verdict, something kind of heavy from This Wilderness. So let's ask you, Jim, the first record you bought yourself.
Okay, it was one of two records. It was either the Beatles' Yellow Submarine or Kraftwerk Autobahn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the one with the guitar player.
Which one?
Autobahn.
Did they have a guitar player on that?
It's, you look on the back, right? They're all four in there. That dude with the beard, I think he was from Minoy or Faust. Or,
oh, really?
Something like that. I wouldn't shit you. But I don't know it accurate enough to bet my life against a donut.
I can
tell. Okay, but what happened was, I do know after that record, he got replaced by another drummer. Because I was heavily into Kraftwerk, too. Yeah, do you remember the first gig you went to, Jim?
First gig? It might have been Tom Petty.
Oh, the not real Heartbreakers.
I can't remember now. It was like, it must have been in the...
because the real one was Johnny Thunders, right?
There you go.
I was giving you a joke. I was giving you something to work with, man. I was just, laying some line out for you there.
I slunk it, man.
Look, what about Phil? Do you really want to get his story?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, come on, Phil. Earliest musical recollection?
Probably my dad playing harmonica to, Fiddler on the Roof.
Ah, cool.
Like every Sunday he'd play.
What was that guy's name? Zviti?
Huh?
Topo. No, I'm trying to remember the character's name in that movie.
Oh.
Topo. Yeah. Something with a T.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember the harmonica.
Okay. But I think he's the Fiddler on the Roof, so obviously he's playing the fiddle. But your pop interpreted it with the harp. That's bitching.
Yeah.
So in the house, is there instruments? Did you grow up with instruments?
Yeah, my brother played guitar. My mom played a little piano. We had an old player piano in the basement with the guts ripped out, so we can actually play it ourselves. But
not the paper with the holes.
Yeah, no holy paper.
Man, I've seen a lot of gigs like that. The dude hits a space bar. I mean, what the fuck? Especially when you got four of them sitting at one table, all wearing sweaters. Don't give me a break. Get me a shovel. So you had a basement, so you had a jam room.
Yeah, well, my brother used to play down there.
Yeah.
And that was when I first started playing drums.
Okay, so he got you into that, right? Okay, what was the first record you bought yourself? Or you probably borrowed one of his, huh?
That was, I bought the single for Knock Three Times.
Orlando and Don?
Three Dog Night. Or was it Three Dog Night?
I think it was Tony Orlando and Don.
Yeah.
Give your backup singers a band name, right? The Pips. Don. Although we had a friend in Brooklyn, his name was Willie, and his wife was Don. So it was like, Don, hey, Don. Get these guys some coffee. It's funny, he's lived in London for 30 years. He doesn't have a London accent. Well, these guys are there a week and a half and they got an accent. Willie's still talking like, hey. Anyway, Don, what about the first gig you went to, Phil?
My parents took me to Jesus Christ Superstar. It was the actual full band playing. And I remember getting there and then falling asleep and waking up at the last 2 minutes.
That happened to me at the Rush, the guy with in front of the star with the numbers. I conked. And then 30 something years later, somebody else wanted me to go with them to see them again. And I conked.
Rush?
Almost bookends, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
I got to meet them. Nice guys, good musicians, but God damn, put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you do the garage band thing after school? Because a lot of drummers get into that.
I did not.
Okay, so later on.
Yeah, when I went to college, I took my drums there, and that was it.
What was your first kit?
I don't know what it was.
Okay.
Something my parents got me.
Okay.
It was Paisley. It had Paisley on it.
Whoa. But and you don't know if it was like Remo or Randall or Ludwig?
I had a Ludwig snare, but the kit itself, I don't know. It didn't
Tonka.
Yeah, Tonka.
Tonka. I had a couple of Tonkas.
I wish I still had it. It's probably worth a lot of money because it was pretty cool looking.
And how'd you meet this wilderness?
Well, I played with Jim in Cop Shoe Cop.
Ah, okay, guilt by association. So you know what? Let's go back, Jim, to the story of Cop Shoe Cop.
Okay, the story of Cop Shoe Cop. Phil was more like Phil. The founding members were really Phil and Todd and Dave Wemay.
Dave Wemay, yeah. We all went to college together and then moved to New York, and then we formed Cop Shoe Cop. And,
Where'd you grow up, Phil?
New Jersey.
What part?
Edison.
Okay.
Middlesex County.
Sure. I'm gonna play Jersey City, right? WFMU next week today, I think, or yesterday.
When are you playing?
You know those little sessions they do. They don't broadcast at the same time, but
yeah. When are you playing?
I think it's Monday. But Saturday on Blues Day, it's also Raymond Pettibone's birthday. I'm going to play at the Brooklyn Kitchen, this new project with Danny Franco and Matt Motel called Afternoon Free. And we enough about me. Let's get back to Cop Shoots Cop. You guys, you played a lot. You toured a lot. You recorded.
Sure. We did, yeah.
How'd you join? Yeah, but if that was the core, Jim, how did you get involved? Oh, it's a two bass thing.
Yeah, so Nats came in as low end bass. I came in around the same time because Dave Wemay was going to score films for Troma, and so we came in around the same time. And what happened? I don't know. Somehow we ended up just being in the right place at the right time, as far as you know, being able to make a living at it for a while.
Yeah,
riding on Nirvana's coattails, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
In some ways.
How did that work? Oh, you mean alternative?
We got dropped. We got dropped, but
we didn't really get dropped. We self-imploded on our fifth record. We kind of blew apart while we were about to mix a record. But you know, listen.
Oh, you're talking about a major label kind of drama.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Yep. But that was, you know, that was an amazing time and opportunity. I still am like so glad that I had that as a part of my life. You know, it's not a thing everyone gets to do, of course. You know.
No, what I hear is today is usually made up of yesterday's put together.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You know what I mean? That's the path you've had to take to get where you're at now. So, out of that crumble, how did this wilderness come?
So this wilderness kind of started with me and Robbie. We met at a friend's New Year's Eve party. That was Paul Wallfish, who's also musician of note. And we met and got together, kind of like got along really quickly and easily, and pretty quickly started making music. And we did an early thing at Martin Beese's studio that included Phil drumming and Paul playing some bass and keyboards. And that'll be part of this Martin Beese, he's putting out like another part of this BC 35 thing. So that'll be coming out, but it kind of cooked down to just me and Robbie, partly because, Phil was touring constantly with Swans. So the album is somewhat of a duo, but Phil's intrinsic to it as well. Robbie and I've been playing as a duo mostly. We're graced with Phil's presence on this. We're going to be on the road for the next couple weeks.
You know, stuff I'm playing right now, did that come out of Martin BC studio?
No, it didn't. That was, mostly recorded in my own studio, and mixed there as well. So
I asked because I was at Martin BC studio in Brooklyn when the Sonic Youth was doing Evil.
Yeah, that's such an amazing record.
And there was no booth. Martin Beese was right in the room. The stuff was in the room with us.
Is that right?
I wouldn't shit you. I mean, you know, the guys, so you don't really know what it sounds like over the mics, right?
You couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also where I discovered how Sonic Youth cover a song. What they do is they put the record on, and they play right to it.
That's hilarious.
They get the tempo right, that's for sure. But I mean, they asked me to play this Kim Fowley bubblegum song off Frankenstein, and they put the I said, are you going to play that? Don't worry, you play to this. And I'm playing to the record.
Wow, that's funny.
Then I did some jam with Steve Shelley, and that became like a poem for a part of a Lee Ronaldo poem about a car wreck. But I remember Martin being the best cat, and he actually, right around then, made an SST record.
What which one was that?
It's got a Kachina on the front, the sun, Zia.
Hmm.
Maybe it's the first one, I don't know. Great cat, and I'm glad to hear that it was part of the genesis that got you guys together. You say you got a tour coming?
Yeah, we're leaving on, I think our first show is next Monday in Seattle, and then we work our way down.
Seattle? You mean you started across the country?
Yeah, we're starting in Seattle and ending in Austin.
Do you drive? 2,500 miles? No, one time I played with this guy's fire hose. One time we started a fucking tour in Miami.
What's that?
It was with the Butthole Surfers. And we drove from Pedro to Miami for the first gig.
Wow. With the Butthole
Surfers.
Not
good routing.
I'm sure you got some stories from that.
It'll be in the last tour. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. June 12, 2018. Just a watch for Pedro Show special guest, This Wilderness. Hold tight for hour two. June 12, 2018 is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
I disappear when you close your eyes, but I come home quick like a black crow flies. All this time can make us blind, and we can't recall what we were looking to find. We'll just hold on, wait, you'll see. I'm almost exactly who I claim to be. Forget about a witness, you don't have to say. Let's reveal ourselves in some other way. In the shadow of love, that's bad fear, fear. We're afraid, afraid of truly being here.
Thank you. my sister. Wayne went out with my sister, didn't fuck her. Earl went out with her too, same result. Can't really knock him for trying. I tried once myself in the 9th or 10th grade. Our forebears gone out anniversing. We watched the Bing Crosby movie, then a Dan Duryea movie, then a Forrest Tucker movie. As I inched close, crept close, with my brains bounding and my blood pounding, and I reached round and found felt her tit not yet, cup cloth over tit not there. Between, nor beneath, nor behind, for her fawn warm particular. And I ne'er got to sensate her eat meaty mystery. To no love and lingering, eternal night, sweet day damp, multi radiant, napkin white, monochrome, savage, dull, vacant, throbbing, all night, no night. Dry, wild, still, rivulent, irrigant, arrogant, aberrant, errant, nappy, snappy, toasty, yeasty, thirsty, tasty, smooth, vertical, nurturing, sour, calm, sheet hot, gum thumb, thigh high, rump plump, foot loose, shoe leather, squid, satin, storied, moneyed, squalid, valid, varicose, bellicose, viscous, viscous, life dangering, strangering, full service, fool flattering, clattering, mad gladding, highway widened, dream time, wheel time, wrap around, flap around, sock tight, ass bare, whiskey swilling, swine swollen, grace boating, ambush goading, asymptotic, erneurotic, pea vented, cheese scented, mouse nested, quack tested, sheep shorn, sea torn, thin, sweaty, ready, teddy, door locked, lock broke, luck struck, indelible staining, squeeze teasy, all known, all knowing, soul conceiving, never green painted, undefiled, defiled, putting beyond knowing. Beyond imagining.
We need to talk about my medication. These pills, they taste just like annihilation. They're chewing holes in my gut and wearing down my soul. Last night I tore up the floor, now I'm on the ceiling. I see through walls, it's not a pleasant feeling. I think I need to taper down my dose.
Annihilation, chewing holes in my gut and wearing down.
Well, for Pedro Show, we started the second hour off with Almas X from This Wilderness. Afternoon Freak, mentioned this project I'm part of with Danny Franco, Matt Motel. Our debut gig is Saturday at the Brooklyn Kitchen, where I guess they teach people how to cook. And The Blind Strut, which is also the name of the record. It was one day we did last week and last year in North Long Beach. What's this label? A Joyful Noise. A great label. They do these, they let the Freak Flag fly. Ah, which is the name of the festival Saturday. Freak Flag Fest. And then the Doers out of Vancouver with Hell No, Popo. Lucy Leave out of England with Shrug. Moldova now, Baltimore with Consequence. Instituto No. Escrucio Residenti. That's, out of Sicilia, Catania. The Ghost Card. Easter Part 3, Denver. The Vandal Poets. I think Ohio. Maybe Columbus. A demo of Electrodes Unit F out of SoCal here with Wetico. And finally, The Wilderness with Drop Dead. Yeah, I'm curious. People off air, I asked this Wilderness if we could talk about song stuff. And I got a trippy answer from Jim, because he says, you got to ask Robert because he wrote the words. So I guess if you were like John Coltrane, who mainly did instrumentals, yeah, I wouldn't even have to ask that question, huh? Because nobody's writing the fucking words.
Right. That'd be like what they say, like dancing about architecture or something.
I think that's Mr. Mangus, bassman. Who, if you read Beneath the Underdog, never wrote on the bass, always wrote on piano. That's why I should learn. That's why I'm envious of all you guys for learning. So what about Almas X? Do you want to talk about this song, Almas X? I mean, I love the whole album.
Oh, good.
I got to tell you that. I love the way you guys, nothing is, you know, everything's valid. You go for it. It's like how I try to make music. So what about Almas X? Was Almas X like setting your sights and pert near, but good enough?
Well, I think Almas X is about that idea that you, you make... in a relationship, you kind of try to reveal yourself to each other, and you make kind of promises without speaking about who you are based on your behavior. And that song is saying, I'm almost what you think I am and what you hope I am, but I don't think I'm quite there. So that's about that little part that is unknowable and that may wreck everything or save the day. You can't be sure which.
But you're saying, you know, it's not like you're trying to sell it. It's just like, you know, here's the doggy in the window.
Yeah, I mean, some people might like to hear I'm almost exactly who you think I am.
Yeah.
And some people, that might make them nervous. It depends on how much capacity or tolerance you have for unknown mystery in another person.
I like that. You know, Jim was talking about wanting to be almost related to Ornette Coleman, or try to. You know, he's got a song called Lonely Woman. Joe Biza does covers of it. So, does that have anything to do with, that's what we're going to play next. Does this have anything to do with the Ornette Coleman version?
No, that song's about my mother, and she passed away last year, and Lonely Woman is about her.
You know what?
And she was lonely a lot of the time when she was raising her two boys, four boys actually. But she liked to laugh a lot too, so that's how I kept her from being too lonely, was just trying to make her laugh.
That's beautiful. Ornette might have been writing about his ma too, though. You never know. What was his label? Caravan of Dreams. It was also like a place where they did gigs and shit. Fort Worth. Yeah. So.
I don't think that Ornette Coleman was writing about Robbie's mom, though.
Hey, watch it, man.
Okay, let's listen.
Perhaps this sounds strange to say, but these things take a toll. I was raised by a lonely woman, laid low by a man, and now I make my true love lonely, because that's the way I am, because that's the way I am.
I was raised by a lonely woman. to sleep, your dreams stay. No, you can check out at home, surrounded by light. You can get down with me and put up a fight. I wanna drop dead on the dance floor. Drop dead on the dance floor. I wanna drop dead on the dance floor. Moving with you. Moving with you.
Watch for Pedro Show, Lonely Woman. Then Crash Landing on Mars by Crash Landing. Fuck, I think I already read some of these songs, people. Just look at the playlist, okay? Sorry for being here. But we did end with Drop Dead. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I fucked up. The last half, people, of the first block of music, I ended up reading the second block because, actually, my medication was the last song that we heard of, the last block by This Wilderness. And I was also curious about that. About this medication.
Yeah, that came out of, I had to take some, well, there's a lot of medication going around. A lot of people are on medication. This is actually a true story about, I had to take some steroids. And they started to make me kind of crazy and feel sort of superhuman and fragmented and deranged and stuff. And that's what that song is about, and trying to talk to my family about it and, you know, just taking that idea and running with it a little bit, because I think a lot of people are trying to get their dose correct.
Yeah, I think we had a problem with, because, you know, the band Cop Shoot Cop, but... It was called Roid Rage, and these guys, officers were fortifying their workout procedure with roids and making them kind of intense. Some people, you got bad scratching, or you have to.
It's a miracle drug, but it's an anti-inflammatory. But they really don't know what the side effects.
How it works, right? And then how it gets other shit involved, right?
It gives you a bad temper. I mean, you just I've grabbed people by the throat for no reason. It's just crazy.
Wow. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't fly. You should get in that boat with Phil.
Yeah, I know. They should make me walk.
No. Us Minutemen, we'd pull over the boat and roll around on the side of the road sometimes. But we weren't on the roids. What about Drop Dead?
That was just sort of a dare. I wanted to write a song about death that was danceable, and it was kind of a love song. And so it's, you know, I want to drop dead on the dance floor moving with you. I mean, that's just a...
That's interesting, Robert. Do you guys... What's the process? You come up with the words, and then Jim brings on the music?
Well, on that one, and a lot of ones on this record, Jim gave me a birthday present. He gave me a chaos pad, and I'll come up with a little sketch and words, and then I'll send it to Jim, and he'll sort of turn it into this multifaceted monster truck that you, you know, that we drive around in. But
with his band with Calvin. Who's that guy who played with the James Blood Ulmer? Newborn. Great. And he was playing with these guys, I think Cleveland guys who moved to the Bay Area, and they called their band Monster Cock Rally. And the first gig, he goes, man, what the fuck is this name about? He asked the crowd this, you know?
Okay.
They didn't know. Anyway, he just had a B-day. Okay, that's interesting. So, but Jim, you're going off of like... And you don't explain the words, right, or the chaos pattern. You just give it to him, and he makes of it.
Yeah, I'll send him, I mean, literally like a little bit of a loop, you know, a drum beat and maybe a couple little sounds that kind of tie it together. And then Jim will either reinvent it or, you know, use it as a kind of core. And then it gets sort of obscured by other stuff or becomes kind of thematic. But, yeah, I always write the words for, you know, and the...
Do you redo the words, or is this like a demo?
It varies, you know. We found with a couple tracks, it was like the original recordings were like, ended up being spot on.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Spot on. Drop Dead's
And other times it's like, okay, especially as the music maybe evolves it's structured differently, we like, you know, redo their vocals.
Yeah, okay. You guys are loose about that, though. That's bitching. We're at the end of the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show, June 12, 2018 edition. Jim, Robert, and Phil from This Wilderness. Hold tight for hour three. June 12, 2018. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you. come back to the surface, into the light. Promise we will stay and do what's right. Children watch and learn the grown-up ways. Some things start to smell after a couple of days. I fell down a well, you know. It's dark and it's cold down near below. I fell down.
Thank you.
Watch for Peter show. We start off the third hour with whale from this wilderness, Robert. Whale can mean a lot of things. It could be a noun. It could be, you know.
Yeah, that song is, the key to that song is, you know, I fell down a well, you see, so I can keep you company.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
why
sort
I
of,
it's
a noun. Yeah. I think it sort of speaks for itself, just that metaphor and, you know, being down, you have to get down to comfort somebody who's down sometimes. You got to just let yourself be in a dark place with them. And then, you know, you climb out and...
What was Jim Morrison? I've been down so goddamn long.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks like some shit like that. You know, there's one on that album, there is a line. I can just put myself in his shoes. You know, I woke up this morning in a pot, got myself a beer. I bet you did wake up that morning and got himself a beer.
Yeah, I kind think you could be pretty grandma. Certain.
Okay. Amen.
And then no, he got finished singing, went to France, and then died. Never saw those guys again. Great bass man, Gary Sheff from Elvis Presley's Vegas band. Another Little Los Angel. You ever read that book? City of Lights? Yeah, about selling, kind of a Hollywood version of 33rd and 3rd. Then we heard SS Space Systems from upstate New York with Ifuku Monin, Andrea Rotin out of Czech, Looking Glass, The Babes from New York City, The Babes New York City, Hippies, Chrome. Helios Creed is back with a Chrome name, and just played in Long Beach. I think he's lived there, too. And then Seafield Sway in England. So you're going to tour the album?
Yeah, we have a two-week tour coming up. So, it's not a major thing, but we're getting out there a bit.
What kind of plans do you have after that?
We've got a bunch of new songs already. We'd love to, just put out another EP, do something on vinyl this time if we can.
And play live more. It's just a matter of, figuring out when and where.
Yeah. The live thing is...
What if people want to get a hold of you on the internet? Where do they go?
They can hit us up at thiswilderness.net. If they want an email, it's info@thiswilderness.net.
Okay, so the website is thiswildernesses.net.
That's correct.
Yeah, yep. People go there, probably has the tour dates, right?
Yeah, it does. It has tour dates. You
stream
venues.
The music in all the regular places.
So when you say you got a new song, you got new songs, that means you've been at work with the Chaos Pad making demos?
Yeah, there's that, and then there's songs that didn't make the last record, and then there's a couple covers that we really are excited about.
Oh, wow, doing. I'd like to hear you guys interpret some covers, because you have your own sound. Yeah, that would be very interesting. You know, we're going to move on to the last music for this edition, and both these tunes are acronyms?
Yeah.
They got letters, they got periods in between the letters.
That's right. They're acronyms.
So DOG.
Down on God.
Okay.
I'm taking off my noose of holy rope. I can't take the guilt and the platitudes, the proclamations and the attitudes. You can tell me whatever you feel. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, hey, let go of the wheel. Tell me I'm part of Satan's perfect plan. Just another fallen sinner man. But I'm down on God. I'm pretty much done. Cross, take my gun, take my Bible, and all my fear. It's just not working, not around here. I'm down on God. There's faith in everyone, that much I know. But my faith is a fever, fading fast with this winter sunshine snow. So you know I'm down on God. Down on God. Don't you know I'm down on God. Well, I heard it all, voices in my
Cause once you're gone, well that's a beautiful question. I don't need an answer or a resurrection. I don't need church where I go to pray. I still hear the music, but what I'm trying to say is maybe I'm scared to be on my own. But that's how it goes, nothing's written in stone. Hey, I'm down on God.
For Pedro, last music for this edition, D.O.G. from this wilderness. Hey, by the way, how did you get that name?
We actually, unlike a lot of cool names, we thought about it for a while. And literally, I was like, what about this waterfall, this cold sore, this, you know, whatever. I mean, literally, not literally, but. Then we stumbled on this wilderness because we just
communicated, like we texted and emailed. The only thing we would talk about is band names. We just hit each other with band names for about 2 months until we landed on that one.
Yeah.
Now the band is headquartered in Brooklyn, right?
No, in New York and New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So you guys.
Well, Jim lives in Jersey. I lived in Washington Heights in Manhattan.
Where the bridge is, right?
Yeah, right by the bridge.
I think that's the highest point on that island.
Yeah, there's falcons there and stuff.
Speaking of which, in Pedro, we got a whole big crew, a brood, what do you call little babies, right, of peregrines.
Yeah, fledglings.
Yeah, fledglings, that's a better word. You know, a peregrine does a 200-mile-an-hour dive, fastest thing
in
the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Little gray coats, a little tiger-striped chest, the golden mask, they're bitching.
They really are.
So you guys have to actually come together, right? Everybody comes to New Jersey?
Yeah. Well, some of the ideas can be, like, you know, generated or started, like, on our own.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah, we got to get together.
Yeah, we have to finish it together.
Because I was going to say, because New Jersey, I mean, yeah, you're sitting in Manhattan, you're looking at Newark. But actually, New Jersey's pretty rural, just like upstate New York. There is wilderness.
Yep.
Oh, a lot, yeah. I mean, where I am, uptown, I see Fort Lee, and I got to go down by Newark to get to Jim.
Okay. And if you look at even the shape of the state, it's like a little California switched around.
It is. Yep.
It's pitching, though, because, because of all the touring, I've been able to drive all over the place, and it does have wilderness. It's got a weird thing, too, about making left-hand turns called jug handles.
Yeah.
You get the interior there by Princeton. Princeton, the only time I did a frat gig. Frat guys. But they told me that Ben Franklin started the school, so it's probably before frats.
Yeah.
Pre-frat.
Okay, so
Actually, no, the Greeks started frats, so that was way before Ben Franklin.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I think the word is Latin, though. Frater.
Yeah, fraternize.
Yeah, fratelli, they say in Italy. Okay, so you're saying you're sitting on covers, you're sitting on some demos, but you're going to, you know, right now you're going to focus for the tour and all that. We're talking about the fall?
No, we're heading out at the end of this week.
No, I'm talking about the new stuff.
Oh, the new stuff, yeah. I mean, we got to see what's possible as far as how to best get that out and keep playing, you know. But, yeah, fall sounds reasonable.
What about that area? When you were cops, you cop in the 90s and doing gigs. Mm-hmm. And now the Northeast doing gigs in the 2018s.
You can answer it, Jim, because you can compare.
Well, I'm not too, probably.
We just did a show in Baltimore. That was so surreal. I can't compare it to anything.
Well, we were with like some metal bands. It was an interesting bill.
In the afternoon.
Yeah.
Matinee.
It was matinee, indeed. Yeah. With Cobb, we did pretty well touring. We always had, you know, we had a pretty good following, and the shows were, you know, always, you know, we played live really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're about to find out what it's like, you know, now.
Well, this is what I mean. I'm talking specific to that area, because in the 90s, how many Brooklyn gigs were there? Zero.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, how many Manhattan gigs?
Yeah, I mean, New York, we were playing. I mean, CB's was really where we came up, yeah, you know?
Sure. Pyramid Club.
Sure.
You know, but now it's right. You know, there's, I mean, in Brooklyn and Ridgewood, Queens, I mean, there's all these little clubs. There's a lot of clubs there, but they're, you know, they're kind of like, it just gets pushed further out, you know?
Probably because the rents, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Bastards. Look, younger people probably come. I mean, younger than you are. Younger than
you.
They come up to you, and maybe they want to ask for advice. Jim, Robert, Phil, what would you tell a young person getting into this racket?
All right, so I would say first and foremost, you know, if you want to be doing this, you got to be doing it for the right reasons. Like, you know, it's like, making music can be a blessing and a curse. You know, I feel like it's in my DNA. I don't really have a choice over it. It's something I'm doing through my entire life.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune to, like, you know, have off and on made a living at it in different ways and at different times, but I don't have that expectation, you know, to go into it with an open heart and open mind and not have expectations of, like, fame and fortune, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Robert?
I would say, play out in front of people as much as you can to find out if it's what you really want, and don't hold back. Don't hold back yourself from the expression, you know, wherever it leads.
That's great. Phil?
I would say ditto to all those things. You know, play with your heart and play as hard as you can and with conviction. And don't have any misconceptions that it's probably going to fail.
It can't fail, really. It's its own reward, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah.
But you have to try to get it out of your system. Yeah. And the only way to get it out of your system is to play more and more. And the more I try to get it out of my system, the further into my system it is. So it's strange.
It's like this Lost Coltrane record. Both directions at once.
Yeah.
Look, it's been big honor for me to have this wilderness on board. All three of you guys, Jim, Robert, Phil, thank you so much for coming aboard. It's the June 12th, 2018 edition of the Wap Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.